Blog Talk Radio.
Things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here. I'm glad to be the spokesman for the King of Glory. So just one more time, he allowed us to come together one more time. We're able to look into the Word of God. As the Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And then another one of the writers say, man shall not live by alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's good to be here, and we welcome you to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. And we'd like to thank God and welcome all of our listeners, our LinkedIn connections, our Twitter followers, our Facebook friends, and our Blog Talk friends. It's good to be here just one more time. And I want you to know there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So this is St. Paul writing to the Ephesian church at Ephesus, letting them know their position as a believer. And these people are already saved. They've already been to the water, already been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And God has already filled them with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. So we're glad to be here. Just another session. And my theme that I use, the Godhead, that there is only one God who is the head of all things. So there is no Trinity. There is no such thing as a Trinity. It's not three in one, but it's one God, and he is the head of the church, which is his body. So there's only one person in the Godhead. And it's like I often say, God can never be confined. He can never be what he is not. But when he gets done being whatever he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be, he's always God. He didn't stop being in God. He can come to you, and ain't gone nowhere. As someone said, he is the everywhere, here, now, there God. Leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. You can leave him at home. He'll go with you when you go where you're going, meet you when you get there. Come back with you, meet you when you get back home. He's everywhere and every place. He is not confined to one area, but he's God. He knows all things. He already declared the end from the beginning. So that's what's so good about serving him. He knows your thoughts before you think them. So that is a blessing. So he's able to do, as the writer says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So be it, what the word amen means. So we're glad to be here, and we're continuing in the vein that we've been in for the last four sessions, I believe. So we're talking about a better covenant. So that is the key word in the book of Hebrews. We're probably going to, no doubt, we're going to finish up the book of Hebrews on this evening, this late afternoon, this evening, depending on where, what time zone you are in. So it's so good to be here. So we started off, and we know we have 13 chapters in the book of the Hebrews, written to the Hebrews. And the first word was so very important, as I brought out, and I don't know what the rule is in the English language for especially the first word, and you put a comma. So that's what the Hebrew writer says, God, comma, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So sonship is an office. So God is the Spirit. So it doesn't matter what he's become, he is still a spirit. So he has to, a spirit is invisible. So you can't see the invisible God with the natural eye. Now you have to look at in the spirit, like we, the Beatitudes, like the Lord Jesus himself says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So it's your eye, it's the eyes of your understanding when you can see God in something. As we say, oh, I see God in this. So that means you see with the eyes of your understanding. But through a natural eye, we can't see him. The natural mind, we cannot understand him. That's why the writer, St. Paul, when he wrote to the church at the Corinthian church, he says the natural man, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, receive not the spirit, things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And he went on to say, because they are spiritually discerned. So you have to have in other words, you have to have the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual things. So what we've been talking about in these last four sessions, we've been talking about a better covenant. So he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has better promises. And we quoted that scripture also in 1 Timothy, the second chapter. He was talking about prayers being made for all men and all of those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. And he was saying there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So this is what it's all about. It's about the Christ. It is about the Messiah. It is about the anointed one. It is about the incarnate, the Christos, the anointed flesh of God. It's about Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He took on a human body. So he was made in the likeness of men. That's why in the church at Philippi, when he wrote, he says, wherefore God has highly exalted him, talking about the office of sonship, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, Apostle Paul got a hold of something. He got a revelation that we're going to bow to the name of Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, he says, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So we know he is the judge of the earth. All judgment is committed unto the Son
unto the office of sonship. So that's why he was saying, I don't judge. And he was, you know, so in other words, not what you see, the body, but the spirit. It's the same spirit. And that's what Jesus said in St. John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth means make alive. The flesh profited nothing. He went on to say, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That's why he could say, when he told Martha, she said, you had been here, my brother had not died. He said, I was glad I wasn't there for your sake. Nevertheless, let us go that we may awake him. So they thought he was, well, if he's sleepy, do well, he says. He told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, but I'm going to, that I may awake him. So then she was saying, I know that he's going to rise. He's going to rise again. The Lord Jesus told her, I know he's going to rise again at the resurrection of the last day. That's when he let Martha know, I am. The same I am was talking to Moses. The resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he went on to say, believest thou this? What he's talking about is the second death. So a child of God, when you die, you're not dead. You're just sleep. Sleep is, or being dead is a state of unconsciousness. There's nobody, like we studied it out and we used to have conversations about people talking about the 16th chapter of Luke is actually a parable that's, when that parable comes to pass, it's going to be horrible. There's a great gulf fixed. They can't pass from hence to they to you, or we can't go from there from here to them. So in other words, when a person dies, they're in a state of unconsciousness. That's why he said the dead that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and shall come forth. They that have done good to resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. It's in the fifth chapter of St. John. But we're talking about the better covenant upon better promises. And though when he made those, spoke those words, when he walked the shores of Galilee, when he was in his earthly ministry, we can read about him in those four Gospels, which all things had to be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets concerning himself. In Luke, the 24th chapter, he's making reference to what was going on. You know, it was written of him to come. So in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we read about that body. In the 40th chapter of Psalms, he was saying, I come in the volume of book is written of me to do thy will, O God. He, you know, sacrifice and offerings you wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. You took away the first that you may establish the second. Just like they say, somebody preached a message one time, the second is better than the first. So we've been born again, or born the second time. We were born a natural man. We were born again. We were born spiritually. Nicodemus couldn't get that at first. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Not the water and the Spirit. Water can be anywhere, because what makes the virtue in the water is in the name of Jesus. So he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. That's why the eunuch said to Philip, and when he sat with him on that chariot, and he says, understand is what thou readest. How can I? The eunuch said to Philip, except some man should guide me. So he read unto him the prophet Isaiah. You know, he was all the things that he went through and that his humiliation and all. He said, whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or of some other man? He began at the same scripture. He preached unto the eunuch Jesus. And that's why the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? They went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So baptism doesn't matter where the water is. Somebody said, I want to be baptized in running water. What they someone said a long time ago, they wanted to be baptized actually in the river or whatever. So this particular preacher, he's going on to be with the Lord now. He said, Somebody said they want to be baptized in running water. He said, it's all running. We just have it stopped up. You pull that stopper out of that baptismal pool, that water will run out. So we thank God that we're here. We're able to move on today. And so we want to conclude as much as we can, and no doubt we'll probably will conclude on today. So we're talking about by faith, through faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we know that's the first verse in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And so also, should you desire to call in if you have a question or if you have a comment, you are welcome to call in 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. 929-477-2285. You're welcome to call in. We're broadcasting now live on June the 21st, 2017. So we're going to move on into our lesson, and we're talking about a better covenant. So we know they had many covenants back then, and so now we're talking about a better covenant. And so these things have already come to pass as far as the work of the cross and the work of Calvary. So there's things in there for us to learn as we move on in the Word. So that's why they make reference back to things that are happen as we were ended up on last week. So if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, which means he's not going to go back to Calvary. He's done that. He doesn't have to do that no more. So, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. And the Hebrew writer goes on to say, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And remember when I'm reading, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that's so very important. We're under the grace of God. But he also, when he writes in the book of Romans, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answers it, God forbid. So we know he's the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, John writes, but also for the sins of the whole world. So if you mess up, get up and get restored, run for your life. Don't just stay down. There are people that have come from all walks of life. God has saved. He saves from the uttermost to the guttermost, as we say. But he came into the world to save sinners. St. Paul wrote to his son Timothy, he was saying, of whom I am chief. So in other words, I was the chiefest of sinners, is what St. Paul is saying. So it's about helping somebody else. We're in here not to keep this all to ourselves, but to let somebody else know about it. So he goes on here, and we're going to be in our lesson in a little bit. So of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, have counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. It's a question here. So we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So he goes on here, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Talking about when we first got saved. Partially while you were made a gazing stock, both by recompense of reproaches and afflictions, and partially while you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So there it is, that key word, better. So he goes on here, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And remember, that was a key thing that he said when he was letting them know. They was wanting to know about his coming at the time, and all of these things going to be, nations that rise against nation, all these things he was saying. But he made a statement. He said, in your patience possess ye your souls. So you got to be patient. In tribulation worketh patience. Patience is experience, experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. So in the fifth chapter of Romans, he said, we glory in tribulation. What it does, work experience hope. So we learn through the things which we suffer. And I've said myself, I'll say it again, I know how to wait. I know how to fight a devil. I know how to wait a devil out. That's what you have to do, because he's very methodical. So as a child of God, and if you wait, you can see. You can see what's going on. And sometimes God exposes people. People have too many times have ulterior motives. And sometimes we get caught up in the Bible tells us to give no place to the devil. So somebody say, you see the devil coming, you don't wait till he get there. When you see him coming, it's praying time. So I was out walking one time not too long ago. This guy kind of beckoned at me. And he was with another guy. I just ignored him, because I discerned that. Like, I don't need nothing you're offering. I've made it all my life without what you on the street trying to tell me about. I'm not even talking to you. In my mind is what I said. So he kept going. So don't I act like he wasn't there. He kept moving. So yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we're not, God is not playing. He's not wasting time. We're not just going through all of this for nothing. So not only that, we're helping, we're making it, he's given us the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He's given us the victory, and as we that have been in the way a little longer, people help me, we are able to help one another. We're helpers one of another. You can make it, because there's nothing in the world worth going to the lake of fire for, and that's prepared for the devil and his angels, and he's just trying to get out of all the tools that the devil has in his toolbox. He tries to discourage people. Some people don't know how to fight. They haven't been taught it, how to do spiritual warfare. Because that devil and all his imps, they come against you. They come against your mind. It's so subtle, he'll have you thinking it is you, and it's actually him fighting your mind. So we go on here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, remember, during the earthly ministry of the Lord, when he was saying, have faith in God. And then another time he said, if ye, they were saying, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Now, we know Romans 10 and 17, he says, so then, because everything else that he's saying there, he's already talking to believers in that 10th chapter of Romans. You can't confess him and all that. The Jews are going to do some things during the time when he comes back to Jerusalem, the second coming. The church is going to be with him. That has nothing to do with us now. You don't just can't just open your mouth and confess him. But right now, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. This is in Mark, the 15th chapter. And then Luke 24 and 44, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, till ye be endued with power from on high. So that's somewhere around the end of the 24th chapter of Luke. And we know Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles and his book, St. Luke, also. So it's a continuation. So we have to believe the gospel. So he's going on here for by it, talking about it, what? Faith. What I was going to say, and so they asked the Lord to increase our faith. And he said, if ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you might say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and, you know, don't doubt, and it should obey you. He ain't talking about these songs got people messed up. Some of these songs, don't move the mountain, give me the strength to climb. No. Faith can move mountains, what he said. And then you notice, scientists, they don't mess with no mountain. You see, there are mountains. I've seen the mountains in Nevada are awesome. They've been there for centuries, and they will be there. I mean, and the Lord, like Moses said in the 90th Psalm, Lord, thou hast been our resting place throughout all generations. And he goes on to say, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. I believe that's that 90th Psalm, the first few verses. So that just shows you. So in other words, he's God. He was God before, because he did all of that. He formed them with his hands, because he is God. So in other words, what he was saying, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, then mustard seed is a tiny seed that the wind will blow it, it's gone. But he wasn't saying that that was a little faith when he said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed. But what he was saying was that much faith and no doubt. That much faith and no doubt. He didn't say it was little. Have that much faith and no doubt. That's faith. So going on here, so talking about faith, for by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the world, worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So he goes on here, by faith, Noah was warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So what is faith? People be saying they're going to do this by faith, do that by faith. Faith speaks. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your father's house, out of the country, into a land that I will show thee. We already said it. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Isaiah 28 chapter and 29th chapter. So we have to pay very close attention to repetition. That's why all of this here, by faith this, by faith that. Why? Repetition. So he's trying to get our attention, because the devil It's a lot out there. That's why John said, love not the world. John, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And he goes on to say, for all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, they are not of the world, but of the Father. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there's some distractions out there. That's what happened to Eve when she saw that it was good to eat to the eyes. Then she took of that tree, of that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the one in the midst of the garden that God said, don't you eat it. Day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. She saw it was good. She took, she ate, she gave unto her husband. They both ate, and their eyes were open. So it's a lot to look at. There's a lot to get your attention. It's a lot of distractions, but you have to be focused. You really got to be focused. When you come to the house of God, you really need to be focused. And that's why he was saying about people coming together and encouraging one another. We can't put a limit on God or a bridle. Or he could do this, but he can't do that. No, Job said, finally he had to admit, I know thou canst do everything. No thought can be withheld from thee. When he came to his senses in himself in the 42nd chapter of Job. But we're going on here. So he says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. And so by faith he sojourned into a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek such a country. And so, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So that's going to say, if he would have slayed Isaac, God would have had to raise him from the dead, because he was the seed of promise. Not was, but is, even now. And so go on here, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob when he was a dying, blessed both of his sons, the sons of Joseph, and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come 2 years, refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he should he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. So in other words, they went on, tried to go across. That was the dumbest move they ever made, but God will fix you. You're an enemy. You think you're going to do something to destroy a child of God? The Lord knows how to fix it. So that was the dumbest thing that Pharaoh and his army ever done, and that was went down in that Red Sea, because it was a wall of water when the Lord sent the east wind, a wall of water on either side. The wall of water wasn't going to stay like that forever. The water was going to have to go back to its strength sooner or later. So that was stupid, with all capital letters, for them to go in there. But that's what happened. They went in there and they drowned it. So he said, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, talking about the children of Israel, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished, not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? What more? What shall I say? I more say, for the time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jethro, of David also, Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kings, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women who received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. There it is again, better. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, tortured, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So in other words, there it is. He made us one. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. We all can come. We all been joined together. So there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. We all are one in Christ Jesus. So he goes on here, wherefore seeing we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. So some people call the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, the Hall of Fame, the witnesses that he made mention about. And so this book is going back in the Old Testament, letting us know it and bringing us up to what the high priest's job of the high priest and the mediator and the Son of God, and taking on that body and shedding that blood and everything that he did. And he didn't do it in vain, and he's not going to go back and do it again. And we can't let his sacrifice be in vain, and we can't shame his name by going back on him. It's going to be horrible to people who do those things. That's what happened to Esau. So he sold his birthright, and he tried to, he wanted that birthright back. He sought for it carefully with tears, and he found it not. And I got ahead of myself, but we're going to read about that also. So wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So they stripped him naked. They made him a curse. He wasn't just on a pretty cross, but as two pieces of wood. And they call it a tree back in the Old Testament. They say, as it is written, and in the book of Galatians, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for us. So he goes on here, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? And he goes on here, this is back in Proverbs. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So he goes on here, if you endure chastising, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastiseth not? A question. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So the reason why we get chastised, we get off track, because he loves us. He wants us to get back on track. He wants us to appreciate him. He wants us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. As the writer said when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. We got in here. We got to make up for lost time when we got in here, because we got to fight the good fight of faith, lay hands on eternal life. So he goes on here, but if you be without, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reference. And shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Then he goes on here talking about our fathers. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. He goes on here, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which exercise which are exercised thereby. So we got it. I'm glad. I mean, I hated it, I'm glad that I got chastised, because the reason why, my father was an old timer. He was 40 something years older than me. So the reason why he chastised me is because he loved me, and I'm glad he did. Because we just double talking and a lot of foolishness today. Don't chastise a child. You know, their heart is bound for foolishness. The Bible said to ride a correction or drive it far from it. It says foolishness is in the heart of a child. So if you're chasing them B times, you'll save their soul from hell. So in other words, B times means right away. So I'm glad I got tore up. I didn't like it then. No, I didn't. But I never got beat, because they're talking all that. Don't do this and don't do that. And then so soon as your little philosophy don't work on your child or your daughter, and they grow up to be rebellious against you, then sooner or later they're going to be out in that street. They can get in trouble. And the police will billy club you. The police will, taser you. They've killed folks with tasers. And they will shoot you down like a dog. So I'm glad I got tore up. So I got sense. I got respect. Thank God. So the Bible is right. I mean, they're telling you, just talk to them. They're not even saying what they should be doing. They're not following the law, in many cases, themselves. So thank God for his word. So if we listen to his word, then, that's why Job said, and to man he saith, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So what he's talking about is the reverential fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in other words, we fear him, we reverence him, not because we're scared, our knees are hitting together. No, we fear him, a reverential fear. We love him, we want to do what he says, we want to please him. And not only that, Not only that, he got our back. He's not playing. People think that we're pushovers. No, the Lord is not playing. He's going to kill so many people. These people that don't make the rapture, the mount of the battle of Armageddon, which is literally the mount of slaughter. In the Hebrew tongue, it means Armageddon. God's going to kill so many people. It's going to be blood up to the horses' bridles. You know how tall a horse head is? 200 miles long. God is not playing. It ain't going to take him long to do it. These people that transgress against him, that hate him, want to do their own thing, they're going to pay. That's why he said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He's a man of war. He's not playing. He's the King of glory. He's not playing with nobody. So, with that being said, so he goes on here, wherefore lift up your hands, which hang down in the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator. So here it is right here. This is what I was going to talk about, Esau. So people try to play dumb. I mean, I didn't know what fornication was before I got saved. I got saved as a young man. I knew what adultery was. We never really heard the word fornication. So it's a branch of adultery. So a fornicator is a person, can be two people that are not married to each other. Or if another man is messing with somebody else's wife and the man ain't married, he's a fornicator, and the woman is committing adultery against her husband. Or if a man is married and he's messing with a woman that ain't married, then a woman is a fornicator and the man is committing adultery against his wife. And like I said, two people that are not married to each other, that is a fornicator. And you want to know what God thinks of a fornicator? That's what a lot of people are doing. Some people have said in their heart and said verbally, why should they get married? Because they could just do what they want with whoever they want. And so you're a fornicator if you're not married to the person. So here's what God thinks of a fornicator. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So crying ain't necessarily repentance. But repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart. You can say to yourself, and you can talk to yourself in your verbally, if you audibly, it don't matter. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm done with that. Or just make the change. Repent. That's what repentance is. Change. Change your mind. Turn from it. Ain't going to do it no more. You ain't got to shed a tear. You don't have to. It's okay if you do, if you broke up. But then you don't have to. You can make a decision in your heart. You ain't going to make a fool out of me no more, devil, and all your imps. I'm done with you. I know your game. That's what I told someone that I used to work with. Used to just try to, this is an idiot that I work with. And that's what I said. And I ain't taking it back. He was a real fool. He was like Jacob said, of two of his sons, I believe that they were instruments of cruelty. This person was an instrument of cruelty. He was a real fool. He wanted to intimidate me and to provoke me, and I knew that because he did things. So you have to just make your mind up. You're not gonna. It takes the grace of God to make it, because I have to ask the Lord to help me, because. You can't in the workplace. You can't be fighting. That's kitty. That's junior high foolishness. Some guy that's envious of you. So that's what the Bible talks about. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But he asked a question. This is in the book of Proverbs. Who is able to stand before envy? Why did Joseph get sold down into Egypt? Because of envy. You can read that in the book of Psalms. Read it in Genesis. So that was envy and jealousy. They're so close together, you know, together. Jealousy, love as strong as death, and jealousy is crueler as the grave. Song of Solomon 8:6, the latter clause. So those are, so because of envy, because of jealousy, things are happening in the world today. So he was saying, you know, he was rejected. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not coming to the mount that might be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they heard, that they heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more. This is Moses. And during that time, they came to that mountain. They could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceeding fear and quake. They heard that trumpet blowing. And you, trumpet is an awesome instrument. One of my sons blew a trumpet. He was in the band when he was in high school. Trumpet is awesome. You got it's a certain way you got to blow in it. But this trumpet, it just got louder and louder. God ain't got no breath to take. He is God. He is life. In him is life. Like John said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So talking about our God. So you are coming to Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. There it is again. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So that's what I was talking about, reverential fear. So we're serving him with reverence and godly fear, which means because we love him, we reverence him. So it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So you got to know the difference. And God does that impromptu at times. It's like I said about that man looking at me like, no, you're not picking me out. I'm not your guinea pig. Get away from me. Then on the other hand, God can bless you, and you got to know the difference. Sometimes people have been, I've heard someone say it to me, and then also someone on Facebook where they went, they got their meal paid for or a coffee bought for them or whatever. God puts stuff in people's heart. That is a blessing, be it whatever way you want to call it. That's a blessing when somebody does that, and there's no, reciprocity in it. So in other words, they did it just because they wanted to do it. They wanted to bless you. That's a blessing. So there's nothing wrong with that. So he goes on here, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which have suffered adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And he goes on here, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember that are them that have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is bought unto the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the camp. Let us go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, so they watch for your souls. They must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So what is the rule? The question, obey them that have the rule. What is the rule? The rule is the word. So and the word got to be rightly divided. So go on here, pray for us. We trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. For I've written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. And then so he goes on here, they of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. So we thank God for his word. And so that is a conclusion of the better covenant that we have been talking about on these last few weeks. And so you got to search yourself. And so as my question that I asked, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So don't just play that down. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That is so very important. Thank you.